This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
And joining us, as he does each and every Tuesday morning during the baseball season, the voice of the San Diego Padres, Jesse Agler. And I did hear on the TV broadcast last night, Mud Grant said he literally kissed the tarmac at Lindbergh Field when you guys landed after the hottest, stickiest 10-game road trip you could probably put together in a Major League Baseball season. How nice was it to be back, Jesse?
It was very nice, yeah. I mean, it's funny because, you know, we are very fancy travel setup, obviously. You know, we don't go through the terminal. So when we get off the plane, we get off in fresh air. Like, you know, the plane parks at the north ramp at the airport there, and there's just a stair car that comes up, and we walk right down onto the buses. And so you get the fresh air immediately. And I think every single person, you know, there's whatever, 70-whatever of us, I think, in the traveling party, every single person who took that first step outdoors when we landed on Sunday night probably had the exact same feeling. It was the most refreshing, wonderful breath you could ever take after that road trip. You know, 71 degrees or whatever it was at the airport, and we just all were like, oh, my gosh, thank goodness we're back.
Jesse, when I'm driving around San Diego and you are in my ears, you always sound great. I don't even know that you know how good you sound on the island of Kauai, which is what I experienced yesterday in the car when we got the rental car that took 50 minutes to get, put you guys on immediately, and hearing your voice in the beautiful islands, you actually sounded better and you sounded more refreshed in Kauai than you do, you know, other times. It was very strange.
I think that might be you. I think it could be me. Yeah, it could be. Where? What part of the island are you staying on, by the way?
Honolulu Bay.
That might be my favorite place in the world, Kauai.
It is my favorite place in the world. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. I tell these guys earlier, too. I said off the air, I said, you know, anytime you have a comeback win, it's pretty special. Down that much, that early, and able to come back and win that game. I mean, by the skin of your teeth. But after, like you just said, that road trip, it would have been really easy to just go, well, here we go. We're back, and everyone's kind of gassed, and Dylan Cease has served it up, and we're down. It's a win that feels like two.
It's the hardest team in the world to figure out because, you know, there's all these games, right, where it seems like they score a couple of runs early and then nothing, and often they hang on and win that game, let's be fair. But then you have games like yesterday where they look like that, you know, ferocious offense that they were for most of the second half last year that was just machine-like. And, you know, that, as you said, was incredibly impressive when you consider, you know, just sort of the gnarly nature of that road trip and the weather. And, you know, we didn't get back late, but we didn't get back early either on Sunday night. And as you said, you're down early. I think a lot of teams in that exact situation probably would have looked like they were packing it in. And these guys just aren't like that. You know, that's just not the personality of this team. And that's probably the ultimate compliment you can give a team is that, you know, they're not going to roll over, even with all those circumstances kind of stacked up against them. And it's a fun group. It's a really fun group. They're hard to figure out. I still don't know, you know, what the real Padres are in 2025. It seems like every time you have a pretty good sense of what they might be, you know, you see something a little bit different. All I know is they play their tails off, you know, each and every night. And, I mean, they had a sloppy one, I think it was Friday in St. Louis. It was very sort of out of character, and it felt weird. And, you know, they did some dumb things on the bases, which they don't usually do. They kicked some balls around in a way they don't usually do. And it was like, ooh, that was kind of ugly. And since then, they've played such good, sound baseball, such exciting baseball, such fun baseball. And, you know, they refuse to roll over when they're down in any way. And, you know, last night, obviously, a tremendous example of that. One of the wackiest games we've seen all year.
Well, it was. And, you know, like an infinite number of things can happen during a baseball game. But if you were ever, like, put together a bingo card of things that could happen, a grand slam, an ejection, a walk-off, you know, a pitcher getting hit by a line draw, that game had about as many spots on the bingo board covered as you're going to get, Jesse. I mean, I can't imagine that you've seen a variety of things happen like you did in the game last night.
It's funny. I think I actually said at one point last night, you know, I don't know if we had that on the bingo card. I mean, it really was one of those games. Because like you said, and I mean, even, you know, the double that began the Padre rally in the bottom of the fifth inning, you know, Beatty kind of like slid and kicked it all the way over to the line. I mean, it was like the home run robbery Fernando had, and then that guy coming back and hitting the grand slam the next inning. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just the beautiful stupidity of baseball, as I always call it. I mean, it's the dumbest game, but that's part of why we love it so much. And yeah, last night it was kind of a drunk game from the start. You know, even the top of the first inning, you know, if you just kind of look down at the box score and you see that he struck out three guys, you'd be like, oh, he got off to a great start. But like, it was a very dicey, if there can be such a thing, striking out the side. I mean, he threw a ton of pitches. It was kind of in and out, a couple three ball counts in there. You know, he gets the result, but even like that inning, it felt like, well, there was nothing straightforward about that. Even though he struck out the side, it was like, well, boy, even that was a little bit, you know, crazy. So, I mean, from Jump Street last night, you know, nothing about the game was straightforward or normal. And it's always a lot more fun when you come out on the right side of a game like that.
Jesse, we just had this conversation before we brought you on, and really, really interesting numbers out of the catching position going into last night's game. Padres catchers had posted the following numbers with runners in scoring position this season. 17 weighted runs created plus. That's the worst in the big leagues. 399 OPS, worst in the big leagues. 188 WOBA, worst in the big leagues. 135 batting average, worst in the big leagues. And, of course, Elias Diaz comes up and gets the game-winning knock. He had had horrific numbers in high leverage with runners in scoring position. You know, and we just had this conversation. Everybody has been saying all season, well, we need to upgrade. We need to upgrade. My take is if you can upgrade some other areas, it makes those numbers not so bad, right? I mean, they're able to pull some of the weight off of those guys. And I do get the sense Schilte really loves these guys. You're around the team all the time. What is your sense of not only what the Padres are going to do at the deadline, but do you think that they will actually go out and try to upgrade that position?
Look, there's a lot to break down there, and it's a really good question or series of questions. Let me start with this. I think they are a lot more comfortable with those two guys than probably most of the fans are. I think, you know, if that's not obvious by now, I do think that's like a fair way to look at it. Generally speaking, catcher is different than any other position when you're talking about, you know, the trade deadline and making moves. And, you know, I mean, they brought in Austin Nola in 2020, and that worked out well, at least in the short term. And it's just not a simple thing to do. You have these relationships that begin in spring training between the pitchers and the catchers. And there's sort of a critical thing, you know, that is sort of, you know, batoned on over the course of the season. And, you know, those dynamics are real. And that trust that is not given but earned by the catchers is real. And so a new guy who might not know anybody jumping in, that's not an automatic win. Like, just because he's got good numbers in Atlanta or Minneapolis or wherever doesn't mean he's just going to come in and be himself. Now, that's true of anybody at the trade deadline, but the catcher thing is more complicated than bringing in an outfielder or a reliever or something like that. So I think, you know, you have to remember that whenever you're having the conversation. Another thing I would say is, you know, if you look at all the success the Padres have had pitching wise this year, you have to give a good amount of that credit to these catchers. So you have to keep that in mind. And then, as you said, if you're getting a little bit extra somewhere else, does that cover up the lack of production you've gotten at times from that position? Absolutely. I'll take it a step further. If you get more of what you'd expect out of your big column four, same thing, right? It's even without adding another guy. If Arraez is going to get on the tear it looks like he's getting on and get his numbers back to where they usually are, if Jackson Merrill, you know, gets hot or something like that, again, you're not thinking about it. Tony made a comment a couple of weeks ago, and it was almost like offhand, but I loved it so much. You know, when you're talking about the bottom of the batting order, I don't know if you want to call that the bottom three, the bottom four, the bottom five, but he says, you know, in the middle of like a rally or trying to kickstart something, he says, you just need them to do one thing. You need to get one thing out of those guys, you know, to kind of get something going. And, you know, whether that means, you know, something as small as a ground ball to the right side to move a runner or just a non-empty at bat in a situation or a walk, even a hit by pitch. If you get one thing from those guys down at the bottom, it's going to be okay. Remember, the fifth inning was set up because in the previous inning, Bryce Johnson got on base with two outs. That got Diaz up. Diaz, I think, struck out to end the inning, but that meant that Fernando was going to be able to lead off in the bottom of the fifth. He ends up doubling off of Beatty, and that began that whole big rally. So if Bryce Johnson doesn't get on base, this sort of easy-to-forget two-out single in the bottom of the fourth inning, you have Diaz leading off in the fifth, and who knows how that inning ends up going. So, I mean, that one thing that Bryce Johnson did that's so easy to forget about because there were a million other things that happened was probably critical to the Padres winning that game last night, or at least taking the lead in that moment. So, you know, there's a lot there. I know this. Yeah. I know this question began with the catchers. Look, I don't know what to expect because it's AJ and anything is on the table. Everything is on the table as always with him, But if they did not upgrade or, quote, change the catcher position, I would not be shocked. I'll say that.
I love that comment from Tony, because that's how I watch games as well. When, the 7, 8, 9 hitters are coming up, I always think to myself, there's a good chance that they're not going to score this inning. Or they could be a big inning, because if those guys do, a couple of those guys do something, then you've got guys on base for the top of the order. Right. This could be a zero, but it could be like a five. So I never want to miss what might happen there at the bottom of the order. Before we get to the incorporator, Jesse, we talked about it when you called the triple play to clinch the playoffs last year, but I'm always interested in the mechanics of a walk-off and, like, how prepared you were for, you know, had a couple opportunities there in the bottom of the ninth inning, and kind of what's going through your mind as Diaz is stepping to the plate.
Last night, it's funny, because the conversation Tony and I had when we were speed-walking to our cars last night was about how, like, our brain stopped functioning in about the seventh inning yesterday. It was, it's a 3.5 hour game coming off that road trip. And it was just like, oh my gosh. Like there were a couple of times like late in that game last night where I had to go to my Larry choice because I just couldn't get to the first or second word. It was like, my brain was just like shutting down on me. And so, by the time we got to the bottom of the ninth inning and you kind of realized everything was on the line, all I was thinking about was like locked in and focused on this pitch. I wasn't trying to look up any cool, funny, fun information. I wasn't, trying to overdo, any kind of big picture analysis. I was like, let me just make sure that I get whatever happens right, because my brain was not firing on all cylinders. So it was nothing too interesting in my head at that moment. It was just, hey, stay locked in on every pitch, report what happens, and let the moment kind of speak for itself. And that was obviously a lot of fun last night.
No, it's a good call. I mean, you had to know if it's a single, is it going to be deep enough, or is it too hard to score the runner? You're watching that guy from second, and you clearly were right on top of that with Iglesias running home. So, all right, let's get to the incorporator. Of course, Woods is in Hawaii, so, we like to do themes if we can. And we decided.
Rooster.
No.
Not rooster.
Not rooster.
Well, we could do the other word for a rooster, but I don't think that would fly on the broadcast.
Paulie, if you would.
Howley.
Yep.
Howley. It's the Hawaiian word for a non-Hawaiian person who comes to the islands, kind of an interloper, a howley.
Yeah, an interloper. Like that's what I am.
The carpetbagger of Hawaii.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, like Woods
exactly
is a howley
right
this week, so that's the
love it.
That's your word for tonight. Good luck, and good luck to the Padres, and welcome home. It's good to have you back in San Diego, at least for a week. Where do you guys go next after this week again?
Just 3 games in Arizona, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, that's survivable.
Nice. Yeah, and then back home for Boston next weekend.
All right.
Nice. Yeah, get some golf in out there in Arizona, Jesse.
115,
it's
very nice.
Yeah, it's lovely. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, man.